Hello and welcome to the Tao of June, Living an Inspired Life. Today I want to talk about a quote that I heard Bob Proctor first quote, and Bob Proctor kind of rubs me a little bit the wrong way. He kind of comes across as a con artist, but some of the things that he says, they do make a lot of sense. And this quote that I heard him say is by Bill Gove. Bill, G-O-V-E, Bill Gove, I think it's pronounced, anyways, or Bill Gove. Anyways, the quote is, "If I want to be free, then I've got to be me. Not the me that you think I should be, not the me that my wife thinks I should be, not the me my kids think I should be, but if I want to be free, I've got to be me. So I better get to know who me really is." I love that quote. Because, yeah, okay, be yourself, be you, be authentic, right? But then how many of us actually take the time to think about who am I, really? You know, when you take away all of the peer pressure and the comparison and the pressures that society puts on us, that our parents and our friends and family put on us, to be and do things that they expect us to do, be and do, you know, without ever really considering, does it make us happy? I know so many Korean parents who pressured their kids into becoming doctors. And one in particular, this young lady, I think she's in her 30s now, so still a young lady, right? But she is in suffering crippling depression. She is a doctor now, but she's not working. And she's basically like bedridden. Now this, my mom was telling me about this years ago, so maybe she's better now. But she was so depressed and so miserable and unhappy being a doctor. She did it just to please her parents so that her parents can brag to their friends. That's the real issue that I have with Korean parents, especially the older generation. But actually, you'd be surprised. Some of Ava's friends, their parents parent the way we were parented back in the 80s. You know? And that's the thing. It's like, okay, you get to brag to your friends, oh, my son's a doctor, you know, but is he happy though? He's freaking miserable, probably strung out on antidepressants, probably suicidal, you know, but hey, at least you get to brag to your friends that your son's a doctor, right? When all he probably wants to do is play a flute, you know what I'm saying? All he wants to do is play music and sing and write poetry, and here he is cutting people open, and he's miserable, right? So, you know, the thing is, I was actually having a conversation with my daughter. We were riding to the dog park with our dogs in the car. And my older daughter, Ava, she's working on a graphic novel. she's an author, you know, she creates stories and she's an artist. She creates draws characters. And so she's deep in the middle of a story right now. So she wanted to stay home and work on that on her laptop. So my younger daughter, who is 10 now, Annabelle and I were driving to the dog park. And I was explaining to Annabelle, I told her, it took me so long to realize what I like. Because my whole life, I've been worried about what other people need from me. And just trying to take care of everyone else. To make sure everyone else was happy and they liked me, you know? Because I wanted to be a nice guy. But Tony Robbins, he said something that really hit me one day. He said, so many of us are willing to go and die for the truth, yet so few of us are willing to sit down and think about what our truth really is. What is our truth that we're willing to go out and live for, right? We're willing to go out and die for someone else's truth, but are we willing to live for our truth? Live and die for what we believe. So I asked my daughter Annabelle, what is it that you really like that it just excites you naturally? that you don't even have to think about. You don't have to try. It just, every time the subject comes up or you think about it, it just makes you feel so excited. And I told my daughter Annabelle, for example, I'll go first. I told her, when I shoot my bow, when I'm out there practicing archery, I told her, I just feel so excited. Just thinking about bows and archery gets me excited. You know, I was telling her that I love looking at other people's like archery pictures on Instagram and things like that. I told her, when I can't sleep at night, I just get up and I have a target in my room. I just start shooting in my room, you know? And I just told her, I really look forward to the time that I have to practice archery whenever I can have time for it. And I told her, now I got our air rifle, and practicing that air rifle and shooting at targets and actually hitting the mark that I'm intentionally shooting at, aiming at, the feeling is just ridiculously satisfying. I cannot even explain it to you. It's just aiming at something, focusing on a spot, and actually hitting it with an arrow or even the air rifle, the pellet for my pellet gun. It just, the feeling is incredible to me. And I know other people, it doesn't excite them like that, but for me, it does, you know, and that's all that matters. And I told Annabelle, when I go out there hunting and I'm scouting the woods and I'm walking around the forest with my dogs, especially with Dexter, you know, I told her, it really helped me realize why they say dogs are man's best friend. Because when I'm out there with Dexter, I don't feel so scared or alone. I feel like I have a partner with me. And he really does engage with me. We're connected out there. Like he's always aware of where I am, and I'm always aware of where he is, and he'll go ahead of me sometimes, even, you know. And I feel like maybe it's because he just wants to make sure it's safe up ahead before I get there. It's just incredible, the feeling that we're working together, we're keeping each other safe, and we're exploring together. It's just incredible working together with my dog, you know, to explore the forest and find where the animals are going to be at so I can hunt them. And again, I am not a hunter because I enjoy killing animals. I am a hunter because I love animals and I want to take care of them. And being a licensed legal hunter means that you are a steward of the forest. It's about stewardship. It's about protecting the forest and interacting with nature in a meaningful way. My current goal, my quest in life, my new quest is to take down wild boars, at least one for now, with my bow, because wild boars are a real problem here. They're an invasive species in Georgia, and they're eating up all the natural resources and also attacking turkeys and, you know, small game that the hunters hunt. And this past turkey season, this past spring, when I was on Facebook and I was looking at the different hunting groups here in Georgia, the turkey hunters, a lot of hunters noticed that this year was particularly tough. It was particularly difficult to find any turkey this year because, and there were hunters that did harvest turkeys, but they even said that it was a little more challenging this year to find them. And several hunters mentioned that they believe it's because of the feral hogs, the wild boars coming in here into Georgia and not only eating up the food that the turkey eats, but they're also eating the turkeys. So they are a problem and they're throwing the balance, the natural balance of our ecosystem off. So as a hunter, as a steward of the forest here in Georgia, I need to go out there and make sure I restore balance to the ecosystem, right? Anyways, I'm getting carried away here. I feel the need to explain and defend my choice to become a hunter. But again, it doesn't have to speak to you. It doesn't have to resonate with you. It only has to vibe with me. It only needs to make me feel fulfilled. That's it. And that's why I'm doing it. So my daughter, I asked her, what is it that you really like? And she thought about it. And she said, first, It's spending time with the people she cares about, like her family. And I was like, oh, Annabelle. Now you've made me feel like a piece of shit. That's my first one too. I just forgot to mention it. It's like, oh, that was mine too. That was mine too. I just didn't mention it. I'm sorry. Man, make me look like a piece of shit. But anyways, I was like, that's so awesome, Annabelle. I really like that. And she goes, the second one is playing new games. She goes, it doesn't even have to be a good game. It doesn't have to be an expensive game. It just has to be a new game, one that I haven't tried before. She said she just loves trying new games. And even if it sucks or boring or whatever, she just likes to try it and then move on to another one. And I was like, that's so cool, And she said, yeah, that's why she likes to watch YouTube videos. She has like her favorite YouTubers that play Minecraft and Roblox and all this stuff. And she watches them and she gets ideas. And I was like, that's so cool, And that really genuinely interests her. I told her, Annabelle, I'm going to be fully supportive of whatever you need from me, to pursue your gaming career. The thing is, though, we don't even have to make it a career. Just as long as you find something that you love, because it's not like I'm trying to make my archery a career. I make no money, going out there and shooting my bow. When I'm out there hunting, I'm not getting paid. You know what I'm saying? It's not about making money off of what you love to do. It's about doing what you love to do for the sake of doing it. And if it turns out that you earn money from it, great. But here's the thing, I'll be honest with you guys. I don't really enjoy grooming dogs. Ooh, he's canceled. Hashtag June the groomer is canceled. Talking about June the groomer doesn't like grooming dogs. Let me explain. I love dogs. I think dogs are the most incredible creatures that God has ever created on this earth. They're just perfect. I mean, not even talking about physically, their biology and, their anatomy and physiology and all that. I mean, physically, I think they're perfect. They were designed to help us hunt. I mean, they are just incredibly designed animals. Not only that, but their temperament, their spirit, their personalities, the way they want to please us, the way they are eager to work with us. Their dogs are just incredible to me. I'm so crazy in love with dogs. I don't connect with any other animal like I do with dogs. I love horses and I like to go pet horses, but I'm still a little intimidated by horses and I don't really feel like I understand and connect with a horse. And I'm sure other people do though. But it's not like I have this kind of same kind of connection with all animals, I mean, hamsters are cute, but I'm not going to groom a hamster or a cat or anything like that. It's just dogs. And grooming dogs is incredibly hard work. Incredibly hard work. I do a lot of difficult things in my life. I've even cleaned buildings at night. And going out and scouting the forest is incredibly difficult. I thought going out there being a hunter was going to be fun. Like the movies, I fantasized about it. But the fantasy versus the reality is completely different. It's like night and day. When I go out there now, I am hyper aware of my surroundings because I am aware of the fact now that any little slip up could cost me my life out there because I have no cell phone signal, I have no service, I have no way to reach out to ask for help from anyone, and I'm usually out there by myself. So if a snake bites me, I'm toast, If I slip on a wet stick or log or something, or if I just trip over a log and fall, on something, on a rock, on a sharp stick, something, I'm pretty much screwed. And I know that now. And getting lost out there in the dark, wow, terrifying. But I love it. I hate it, but I love it too because when I come home, I am so grateful for everything. I'm so much more grateful for my bed, the safety of my house, my shelter, you know? I'm grateful for the food that I have in my house, everything. Because when you're out there suffering, alone, and you're scared, and you're tired and exhausted, all you want is to be safe and sound, comfortable in your bed. That's all you really want. Oh, man. But if you're always just safe at home, comfortable, you know, and your bed's right there, then it's easy to complain about your bed. Oh, I need a new bed. That one's old. You know, this food, always the same old food. You know, this house is getting old. You know, wish I had a new place. But when you're out there in the forest and you have nothing but your own will to get through it, right? And you're pushing yourself to get over the next hill, that the next steep incline. You know, everything, you're just more grateful for everything that you have, I think, when you put yourself in difficult situations like that. That's why I don't avoid the difficult situations, you know? I don't avoid difficulty anymore or challenges. I race towards them. I embrace them because I know that it's in the difficult times and the difficult situations in my life that I grew the most. They forced me to grow because rarely do you grow when things are going great, you know, and you're flying high, life is good. Rarely are you looking for life lessons that are going to help you grow. You know, like you don't feel the need to because everything's great. But when shit hits the fan and when things go south, you know, and all your plans just turn to, you know, mush, you know, your hopes and dreams just shattered right in front of you. That's when growth begins. Because you're forced to grow. You know, we learn more from our losses than our successes, and that is so true, which is why I believe that we should not avoid failure. You know, it's good to go out there and try things and fail. It doesn't make you a loser. You know what makes you a loser, in my opinion? It's mindset, it's the way you think. A loser is not someone who goes and tries several lots of things and it doesn't work out, because that would make me a loser. That would make me probably one of the biggest losers around. You know, I failed my business, failed my marriage. You know, I told some of my best friends growing up that I never want to see them again. Don't ever talk to me. And if I ever see them out in public, I'm gonna fuck them up. And I don't recommend you do that to your childhood friends. But I felt the need to at the time. I don't regret it. And I did mean it at the time. Not so much anymore. Unless he catches me on a bad day and I see him out. Of course, I'm going to keep my promise. You know, I'm going to keep my word. But yeah, it's not about trying things and not succeeding. That doesn't make you a loser. What makes you a loser, in my opinion, is when you look around at all the circumstances of your life. You know, whether it's shit or whether it's good, but usually when it's shit, because it, you know, it's the mindset. So, my opinion, a loser is somebody who looks at the shitty circumstances of their life and they're convinced it's not their fault. None of it's their fault. It's all everybody else's fault. They can explain it away. They can explain everything away. None of it's their responsibility. None of it's their fault. It's everybody else's to blame. That to me is a loser. And I was a loser for a long time. You know, even when I failed my first business, you know, Thrifty Spa, when I had closed the doors and I had to, and I lost a lot of money, went in debt. I blamed the weather. I blamed trends. I blamed the fact that, you know, I blamed everything, the economy. I blamed everything but myself. Until I met my mentor, and he, first thing he said to me, Gene, I know this is going to be hard to hear, but you have to consider the fact that maybe the reason why you failed this business was because of you. It was hard to hear. He was right. It was very hard to hear, and I got upset. I got offended, and I felt angry. I felt attacked, unfairly attacked, you know? Until I realized he's right. Wow. You know, and the thing is, it's a huge jump from it's not my fault to maybe it could possibly be my fault. I'm willing to consider that it may be my fault. Even that is a huge jump from it's not my fault. And it's very difficult to make that jump. But I promise you, once you're able to make that jump from it's not my fault to I'm willing to consider that it's possibly my fault. Once you get there, then to getting over to crossing that bridge, that scary, wobbly bridge, to get to that other side where all the growth and all of your blessings are going to be found, to get to there is actually quite easy. Once you make that jump from it's not my fault to I'm willing to consider that maybe it's possibly my fault, once you make it there, then that bridge is much easier to cross to, okay, it was my fault. And once you get okay with it's my fault, I am to blame. And that's okay because I can change. You know, and now I'm willing to change because I see that it was my fault. Now your life can change. And for things to change, you've got to change. Your life will not change by chance. You know, you cannot take the fingers crossed approach to life. I hope things get better. I sure hope things will change. They're not gonna change unless you change for you. Once you change, then your life can change. But your life will never change unless you change. It's not by chance that your life will get better. It's by change. What needs to change? Other people? No, you can't control other people. Circumstances, situations? No, because we can't control that either. It's like trying to control the wind. But if you cannot control the wind, then we can learn to set a better sail, right? So that no matter which way the wind blows, we can navigate through it and we can get to our destination as long as you have a set destination. Can you imagine a ship that sets sail without ever knowing where they're going to go? They're just they're just aimlessly sailing. Well, guess what? If you have no destination, anywhere will do, right? But who knows if you're actually going to like where you end up. So you have to have a clear goal in mind for your life. Where do you want to end up? What kind of person do you want to be? You know, what kind of person do you see yourself as? What kind of person could you respect? You know? So you do the things now that your future self can thank you for, right? The thing is, I think that too many of us, we think we want things that we see other people have because we never really sit down and think about what would make us happy, you know? So we just see other people doing things and seeing that it makes them happy and we want to do it too. But really, it wouldn't. I thought I wanted to be rich and famous until I met people who are rich and famous, and I worked for them, and I saw how they lived. And now I realize I don't want it. I never did. What I wanted was people to like and respect me. Ah, but I don't need money to do that, right? In fact, having lots of money sometimes creates secret envy and jealousy, you know? And people secretly waiting for you to fall because that would make them feel better about their life. You know? I remember one time my mom came back from Alaska and she was telling me about, when I picked her up for the airport, she was telling me about this church member that they met. And they were really nice. They invited my parents over. So my parents went over to their house, not expecting anything special, but then they had this mansion, like on the side of a mountain, like, you know, over on the top of a mountain, overlooking like the mountain, the scenic view of the mountainsides and the ocean. And My parents got jealous, I guess, envious, and they didn't like it. They didn't have a good time there. And my mom said that her stomach hurt. You know, that's like in Korean, like she was green with envy, you know? She just felt sick to her stomach, I guess, because you know, these people had all this nice stuff, and their son was this, you know, successful dentist with all these different practices everywhere, and you know, they're rich. And by seeing that, she all of a sudden felt less than. And she felt like all of a sudden her, like, insignificant, I guess, you know? When actually, when I talk to my mom, she feels proud of herself, and she does feel like she lived a good life. You know, a country girl from Korea in the countryside that nobody even knows about makes it over here to America, starts several businesses, sells them successfully, and you know, we are living a good life now because my mom, the house that I live in now, she bought it, you know, back in 95, 96. Anyways, yeah, we've been there for 26 years now. You know, she raised a family. You know, she had a successful life in my opinion. But yet here she is feeling upset and feeling like she's small in front of this person who has all these nice things, you know? So I asked my mom, I said, "Mom, what would happen if they went bankrupt? If for some reason something happened, they made a bad investment or something, or a con man takes advantage of them and they lose everything and they're broke, they have no money. They lost their house, their cars, and now they're in really bad shape financially." I said, "How does that improve your life at all? You know, I said, what is different about your life now that they crashed and they have nothing? No, it really doesn't benefit your life at all, does it? You know, it really doesn't. So why feel upset or jealous or envious about what they have? You know, and if anything, we would probably feel empathetic towards them if we really, you know, saw how they lived every day. You know, because with a big house like that comes a lot of pressure, comes a lot of responsibility, a lot of money that goes out every month just to maintain a house like that. I had no idea, but one of my clients, I fired them because I just don't like the way they talk to me. Anyways, the husband especially, it was really him. Anyways, she told me one time that she hates that house that they just moved into, this huge mansion. I mean, it looks so modern and so it almost looks like an art gallery, but like a modern art gallery. But she's saying that she hates it. She's so stressed out. She was saying that she just wants to sell it and move back into their condo. And I was like, "But you just moved in, you know, give it some time. This it was like this is so beautiful." And she was like, they had no idea. First of all, property tax on places like that, it's like a luxury tax. It's like a way to tax the rich, the property tax. They pay so much for property tax to live in those neighborhoods, in those houses. That's one. Second, and property tax, you know, that's just money going to the government. I mean, you know, it's just money that you're just sending away. Your money that you earned. Anyways, not only that, but the sprinkler system in the back, it's like a network under the lawn, under the ground of sprinklers and all this stuff. And it has to be maintained constantly, water levels and chemical levels and all this stuff. And so they have people coming out almost, you know, weekly, pretty much almost every day. Coming to check the sprinkler system. Not only that, but they got the lawn guy and the landscapers. Not only that, they have to have people checking the pool and, you know, all the levels and everything. So they got the pool maintenance guys. They also have like a security system that people have to come and just kind of check it and tweak every time, you know, every once in a while. Housekeepers that come and go because a house like that, you know, hard to keep clean all by yourself. And if you have guests come over, you can't have a dirty house like that, you know, that looks like that. So now you have to have housekeepers in all the time. So many people in and out of the house all the time. And you think they're there for free? You think they're there because they're good people? No, I mean they might be good people, but I'm just saying they're there because they're getting paid. That's their job. So just in payroll every month for that house, is a huge bill every month just to live in the house. Like, wow. I realized I don't want that. I don't want that. I enjoy my privacy and I enjoy cleaning my own house. It's like therapeutic for me. So on my days off, I do enjoy vacuuming and cleaning the house and seeing the house clean after I'm all done. Such a rewarding feeling. And doing the dishes. I enjoy all that when I have time to do it. I do it. I don't need somebody coming into my house doing that for me all the time, in and out. Especially if I had a lot of expensive stuff just lying around. I mean, it would give me an uneasy feeling, just having random people in and out of my house all the time. Because the more I experience life and the more people I meet, the more I distrust people. Because people lie, Which is why I enjoy spending time out in nature because trees never lie, animals don't lie, people lie, all the time, even about stuff that they don't even lie need to lie about, unnecessary things they just lie about. So I think that's why I always feel anxious around people. I feel anxiety around people because people lie and they have ulterior motives, But I always feel safe around trees and around my dogs. Anyways, wow, I'm almost to my first appointment here for the day. Oh man, where is it? Oh yeah, the point that I did want to make is that when I was telling my daughters about things that naturally excite me and make me feel happy, I mentioned archery, I mentioned shooting my pellet gun at, targets. I mentioned going out scouting in nature, being in the forest. I didn't mention grooming dogs, right? And grooming dogs is what makes me money, what is how I earn an income. But, and I do enjoy it. I do enjoy the rewarding feeling after a hard grooming session, because it is a hard work. But knowing that I'm working with the dog's cooperating with me because they trust me, because I earned that trust. And then seeing how beautiful they look afterwards and how happy and comfortable they are, they're not itching anymore, and all their skin problems are, starting to look much better. Like, I'm not just giving them a haircut. I mean, the haircut only takes like 40 minutes. I'm spending 4 hours clearing their skin. I'm doing skin work. I'm a skin esthetician, Like, I'm actually clearing a lot of these health problems that occur in their skin. And that's what I do, But anyways, which is why it's so rewarding for me, but also why it's so difficult and such hard work and takes hours. Imagine working out for 3 hours straight. That's basically what it feels like. And I wouldn't be able to if I was just working out at the gym. Oh no, 3 hours straight? Oh no, what are you crazy? You're trying to kill me? But when I'm working with the dog and I have this end goal in mind that I'm working towards, I don't even notice that 3 hours go by. I don't even notice that 4 or 5 hours go by. I get lost in the work. Time just kind of ceases to exist. I get in the zone and I'm sweating and it is difficult and I'm exhausted by the time I'm done. But man, the feeling is incredible when you're done, and it's rewarding because it was difficult, because it was hard and challenging. That's why it's so rewarding. And that's why I believe life is so difficult and so challenging, because life is meant to be rewarding. You hear those people all the time. I used to be one of them. Why is life so hard? Why is life so hard? Why is life so difficult? Why is life so unfair and scary and uncertain? Well, it's because it's meant to be rewarding, and easy is never rewarding, right? I'd rather live 25 years full of adventure than 100 years safe in the corner, right? What a life. What a way to live. tucked away, safe and secure in the corner somewhere, never actually experiencing life. Right? So hopefully, my little rambling this morning makes sense to someone who's listening, hopefully. But even if it doesn't, I'm happy. I am appreciative. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you listened to some of the thoughts that swirl around in my head at all times. Oh man, that's why I have no notes. I have no show notes, no nothing. I'm in my car, I'm driving to work, and I have all these thoughts swirling around my head. So I sometimes hit the record button and just start talking out loud. And this is what happened today. But I did have that idea that I wanted to start off with, that if I want to be free, I've got to be me. So I better get to know who me really is, right? And I wish freedom for you. And I hope that you take a moment today to sit down and really start thinking about what it is that makes you excited, what it is that makes you feel fulfilled and happy. And you don't even have to try. What naturally excites you, right? Follow your joy. Be brave. Be courageous. Because it is going to take courage and bravery and a little bit of stubbornness to do the things that you really want to do, especially when your friends and family question your sanity. I honor the light in you that's also in me. Namaste.